Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to welcome and introduce Pam Johnson, a constituent of mine, but also a friend, and a focused and determined and hardworking member of the family farm where she and her husband and two sons raise corn and soybeans near Floyd, Iowa. She is the president of the National Corn Growers Association. And also, Pam is very active in national and state advocacy groups. She serves as a member of the National Agri-Industry Council Executive Committee and is the current director of the Iowa Corn Growers Association as well. All of that and still time to farm. She's testifying on behalf of the National Corn Growers Association, and I want to thank Pam Johnson for being here to testify today.
Thank you for that kind introduction. And Chairman Graves and Ranking Member Velasquez and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify about exports and policy recommendations for the U.S. Trade Representative. NCGA, as you've heard, I currently serve as president of the National Corn Growers Association. And NCGA was founded in 1957 and represents over 38,000 dues-paying farmers. We support a consistent U.S. trade policy that maximizes corn access, market access for corn and corn products, and does not disadvantage our industry for the benefit of another sector. As farmers, we know that 95% of the world's population lives outside of our borders. That is why trade is so important to us and to our nation. NCGA members have much to gain from government policies that encourage exports and facilitate small, family-owned farms entering the global marketplace. The administration's current trade agenda is ambitious and it's complex. Negotiating simultaneously with the EU and the Asia-Pacific countries will require a tremendous amount of resources and a well-defined set of principles to guide the trade talks. Trade is most efficient when policies are predictable, reliable, and designed to encourage, not hinder, the flow of trade. During my testimony, I hope to emphasize the recommendations that will maximize family farmers' access to foreign markets. Currently, USTR is preparing for the first round of the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership negotiations. NCGA has called for the trade agreement to be comprehensive and to tackle the significant hurdles that must be overcome when dealing with ag products. For NCGA members, the biggest challenge is the approval of corn and corn products that are derived through biotechnology. The EU is a market that holds great potential, but it is often overshadowed by delays in approvals and regulatory decisions that are dictated by political pressure and not by science-based evaluations. Unjustified regulations are costing family farmers millions in lost sales to the EU and could result in even greater losses of U.S. exports if they are adopted by other countries. So we urge USTR to keep the following principles in mind as they begin negotiations with the EU. International trade rules that fully support trade in products of biotechnology for planting, processing, and marketing, subject to science-based regulation. We must oppose de facto bans or moratoria on approvals by Europe and other WTO member countries. There is no justification for measures taken under the guise of the precautionary principle, absent the relevant scientific evidence, and politically motivated bans or moratoria by WTO member states are not consistent with the members' WTO obligations. NCGA members do not support a take-what-you-can-get approach to the bilateral agreement with the EU. The Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiating structure should be used as a template for TTIP. This is the best way to achieve an outcome that the food and ag sector can strongly support. TPP is intended to be a comprehensive agreement covering all sectors without exceptions. All topics are to be included as a single undertaking, which means that nothing is agreed to until everything is agreed to. Critically important SPS provisions must be subject to dispute resolution. Otherwise, USTR sends a signal that family farmers' issues are a low priority. USTR must keep the concept of competitiveness in mind when addressing international regulatory challenges for ag products derived from biotechnology. Trade disruptions caused by barriers to biotech stand to hurt the entire value chain. We encourage USTR to improve the international regulatory environment. Last month, the USDA released its fourth outlook for U.S. ag trade in fiscal year 2013. USDA projects $139.5 billion in ag exports, which, if realized, would be a new record. In conclusion, ag producers succeed when industry and government work side by side. As a farmer, I cannot and should not assume that our industry will be taken care of in TPP or TTIP. It is critical that U.S. negotiators have an appreciation for how increasing exports translates into benefits for family farmers. The U.S. economy will not benefit from ag issues being placed on a to-do list. So now is the perfect time to eliminate long-standing barriers to ag exports and promote policies that bring economic opportunity back to rural America. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate everybody's testimony this afternoon. It's very interesting. Ms. Johnson, what percentage of the corn crop is exported right now per year?
Well, because of the drought last year, we've seen a decrease. In 2011, it was 13%. This last year was 8%. And we know that we've lost that market. I've personally been to Korea and Japan and China talking and building relationships, telling them their business is important to us and we want to be back to being their reliable supplier.
One of the problems that we have with the EU is the genetically modified corn. Can you describe that just a little bit and what is, if anything is being done to solve that problem?
Sure. As I talked about in my testimony, solving the SPS restrictions is a priority for our members in the EU because that is used as a non-tariff barrier to block biotech products. And in the United States, our corn is now 88% uses a biotechnology event, as is in our with our competitors in Brazil and Argentina. We're both up at about the same level. So those SPS restrictions are hugely important to us in the EU.
You made comment that you liked the Trans-Pacific Agreement. You thought it would be a good template for our trade rep to use in his discussions with the EU. Can you elaborate just a little bit on the highlights of that you like?
Sure. I think the main thing is, as I said, I think the big point is that we know that 95% of the population lives outside the United States. So using that as a template for TPP and TTIP would help us in a framework that would be workable and to hit the ground running, I think, would help.
Many have questioned the benefits of free trade agreements, arguing that they actually divert demand for domestic goods to lower costs of foreign goods, which produces poor quality jobs abroad. If the Trans-Pacific Partnership is ratified, would U.S. corn growers create more jobs as a result of that, or would the benefits flow mainly to foreign producers?
First of all, we have to put it in the context of where we think the growth potential is, and TPP is focused on a region in the world where we know that the demand for corn and corn products and livestock is really growing because of the growth of the middle class there and the ability for purchases and a diet that people want more protein. So this is very important to us. We think it's the growth part of our, as we look out to the future, we think it's where we can grow our products and exports. And 1 in 12 jobs is directly tied back to agriculture in the United States. And if TPP is ratified, we think that it will increase the opportunities for a high demand for corn and those corn products, and then so that we'll see economic growth on farms as from increased exports and then more opportunities for the next generation. I have two young sons that are back farming, and a lot of their people their age are able to come back if there's opportunity to participate in those jobs. And I think that U.S. corn growers, we believe that we can compete on quality. And as I said before, you know, we've been, even though our exports have gone down to 8%, we've been back recreating those relationships so that we can get back in the market and be competitive with other countries who are also going after these same markets.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if the panel could just briefly answer this. If you think that the U.S. economy and small business exporters in particular, are better off with a free trade agreement in place or worse off, I wonder if maybe start with you, Ms. Johnson.
Well, as we look at the competition and we see that all the free trade agreements that they have been making with different countries, I think that we have to be also to be competitive, that we have to be in the game also. And so those are very important to us. Whatever trade agreements they are, as I said, our future is dependent on being able to export. You know, small business is the engine that makes the United States work, and so true for farmers also. So we see, as I said, we're only 5% of the population in the world now, so our growth potential depends on good trade policy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the witnesses for your testimony. It's not always an easy thing to leave your busy lives and come here to help advise us on the path that we need to take. Plus, sometimes it just puts us in a position where we're given advice on down the line as well. But I was interested in what I heard in your testimony, Mrs. Johnson, when you were speaking, I believe, of the Trans-Pacific Partnership on it being asking for a comprehensive agreement. And I like the language, nothing is agreed to until everything is agreed to. And I wasn't clear whether that also applies to TTIP as well as TPP, excuse me.
Thank you for that question. Yes, it does. I think that's a key point that you picked up on, is that it has to be comprehensive. And so that we said that it will be a template for TPP, so a comprehensive plan on TTIP, and then comprehensive plan on TPP also is, I think, one of the most critical recommendations that we would give about going forward.
And then to embellish that point, when I sit down and talk to the Europeans about trade, and I do a fair more of that than I ever thought I would coming into this job, they are constantly trying to pull us back from, why don't they say, why don't you exempt GMOs, and then we'll apply our sanitary and phytosanitary specs to your things, and then we can go ahead and do business. I would guess that you've been in some of those negotiations I've just described. Could you describe some of that for the panel, please?
Well, I think the point that you bring up is, and my point in the testimony is, that it has to be a comprehensive package, that we can't leave certain things out to renegotiate later because it will come back to really hurt agriculture. So, you know, SPS has been used in the EU to prevent a lot of our ag products, a lot of our corn products, livestock issues, our production practices here. They've used the SPS against us. So I believe it's very important that we make sure that we don't leave anything off the table. We do it right the first time.
And I point out also that it's really interesting that I can sit down with, we'll say, German intellectuals, industrialists, or agriculture people, and they all come to the same point. It's agriculture that's our barrier in our trade. And most everything else we seem to be able to get worked out, but agriculture is a barrier. Is that your experience too, Ms. Johnson?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I'm still hopeful. Once in a while you hear something optimistic about the comment out of the UK now that maybe that the EU should take a different look at biotech. So, you know, we're still very hopeful that that will happen. And as America's National Corn Growers Association, we've been working with the corn grower associations in Brazil and Argentina, saying, yes, we are competitors, but there are certain things that we need to collaborate on. And it's just what you are saying, is the trade barriers, the trade disruptions that are due to biotechnology and modern farm practices hurt everybody. And curtail the ability of agriculture, no matter where you're from, to be able to grow in a global marketplace.
And I recall as GMO Roundup Ready soybeans came to the fore in Argentina, but not Brazil, but they found their way across the border and essentially washed over the continent. And now I see that the European Union seems to be the citadel that's locking those products out. And I think that they're going to end up being they'll be the last stand, but eventually productivity and the demands of that and the health of the food will become apparent. I spoke with a elected member of the German Bundestag who represented a region. I better not say where because I'll identify him then. But he said, I agree with you that there's no sound science that says that GMOs are a risk to health. But we have to take this position. And I said, why don't you just take my position? He said, well, I can't do that. I'm elected. I said, how about I'll go with you and I can take this position. You can nod your head. And he said, I would be voted out of office. It is a political position that has grown. The Green Party, for example, in some countries in Western Europe doesn't exist anymore because it's been so absorbed by the other parties. It's not true in every case. But I think we have to just keep pushing the GMOs and push the sound science that we have. If we do that, then eventually this trade component of this thing will wash over that continent and we'll get it done.
I have one question. As far as the U.S. Trade representative goes, how would each of you grade his performance in terms of working with small businesses to try and improve some of the prospects out there?
I don't really have a good answer for that because I don't know enough to comment on it. But one thing I would like to say is that I think good trade policy is really necessary to move everything forward for all of us. And I was asked earlier about jobs and how important that is and how important it is for the USTR for us in agriculture. And we form partnerships with public-private partnership with the government for market access programs and foreign market development. And so those statistics from that is every $1 billion that we have in ag exports that the USTR helps us with supports approximately 6,800 U.S. jobs. So extremely important to us, that position.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to ask some questions. Ms. Johnson, in particular, as a farmer, good to see you here. And I look at our ag exports and the opportunities out there. I mean, it's tremendous. And as we discuss a farm bill, I hope we continue to look forward to the export side of the equation because that's tremendous growth and result in prosperity for rural America. Whether it be corn or other commodities, where do you see as the best prospects for ag exports around the world?
It's a great question, and I think it's one thing that we are very optimistic about is the potential for growth for rural communities and farmers and all ag exports and corn and co-products, so corn and DDGs and livestock, especially now when we're looking at countries like China, considering what food security means to them and what they have to do and what they have to learn from us, possibly the Smithfield purchase. And that will translate into many dollars worth of exports, whether it's raw grains or it's meats. So I think that potential is huge. And as we look before you came in, we talked about how we are 5% of the world's population now. So if we're going to look at what our future is going to look like, we're going to have to figure this out. So I really appreciate the committee's recognition about how important exports are to small businesses, including agriculture.
And in your opinion, I appreciate that, Ms. Johnson. In your opinion, whether it be the U.S. Trade Representative or other offices, do you think they do a sufficient enough job promoting ag exports? Oftentimes, those of us in ag country feel that perhaps it's not high on the agenda for these big negotiations and happens to get lost. Past administrations have clearly not been very supportive of agriculture. But I'm just curious your current take on the efforts and negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question. And that's why I'm really thankful to be at the table today and to be able to give input on what our recommendations would be going forward with TPP and TTIP is because we think they have to be comprehensive trade agreements and that no single thing is agreed to until everything is agreed to, and how important it is to agriculture now that that framework is established going forward, I think is critical to making these trade agreements fruitful for the future of agriculture and the future of rural America and small businesses in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether it's the beef industry, which is very big in my district, wheat, which half of it leaves the country generally, and numerous other products. I mean, it is what's driving growth and prosperity in rural America is that ability to export and feed the world, fuel the world in some cases, and clothe the world. And I appreciate the chairman's bringing folks in here to talk about that because it has an impact, obviously, on some of the very large businesses in this country. But for the very small businesses, it's amazing of how highly dependent they are on export markets, whether it's another 20 cents on the price of bushel of corn or whatever the numbers are today. It makes an incredible difference in rural America. So I appreciate your testimony.
I think as Congressman Huelskamp outlined for us that certainly in these new huge opportunities in trade, we do not want agriculture left out of the picture as it has sometimes in the past. So would appreciate a voice at the table and make sure that the agreements, because agriculture is so important to our country, it's also important for the growth of our country. And I know you outlined some good points, but it's also the way we're going to bring the next generation back, not just to farming, but to small businesses and all those processes that go down the line for value-added processes and products, whether it's livestock and corn products.
Thank you. Thank you.